Hey, what's up, guys? This is Stu2K from Cloud9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 143, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time? 9/11. The date? 2/11/2019. We do have the best episode ever for you today. And I feel like we have the best episode every week because we just love our listeners oh so much. We got some e-news. Of course we're going to bring you e-news. All the latest stories, the going-ons, things that we just don't have time to get to. We're going to have an interesting discussion topic later today about, is VR taking over the world? We're going to talk about that. Talk about some VR esports. That's always fun. As well as play some audio from an interview we did with CVR World Cup. We interviewed their founder and CEO. The whole interview is already up on our YouTube, so you can check that out after the show, of course, if you want to. It is fascinating, and we'll talk about that more on what they're doing as far as combining real sports and esports and how that works out. It's pretty cool, actually. And we're going to talk some CSGO Major, the Katowice Major is starting in just a couple of days. The new Challenger stage is finally here, so we're going to talk about that, preview that a little bit for you. But before we get into that good stuff, let me introduce the crew. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Can I be your first mate?
Damn.
You can always be my first mate.
Put a guy on the spot. Oh my god. You know what?
You can't be. You can be.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. What a weekend.
What a weekend. And we got Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey.
You
hi.
You can be... What's another...
Don't even say it.
Reference.
Second mate?
You can be second mate. Sure. You can be our gimp.
Master.
Yeah.
Be like, okay. The master mate.
You can be the maybe like a beta.
I see what you did there. All right.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to promote you, Brett. You're going to be the official master baiter of TCR.
Master debater is what you mean, right? Is that
you don't
is
have
that
a debater on a no. This is if I'm captain, Anuj is first mate. We need a baiter, but you are the master baiter.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'll be the bullet shield for you guys when we play Apex. I see what you did there. All right, yeah.
Just chum it up.
Yeah, that's right. I'll take the bullets, you know, and I'll body block with my knockdown shield, and you guys just kill everyone. I see what you did. Okay, all right. Yeah, all right, I can. That's better than Anuj being in charge of me. I'll take that. I don't.
Of course.
That's when I leave. Deuces.
We got a show today, don't we?
Yeah,
we do. Let us
you
know
can tell
though.
What we did this weekend.
Yeah, for real. Everyone. We'll talk about Apex
everyone.
Later. We'll talk about Apex later though. Not a whole lot because as for right now, it's just a new game. But we'll talk about it just because everyone's playing it. And that's all the cool things people are talking about now. Maybe we'll talk about it in more details later in a different episode. I don't know if I said it. Our Twitter is at the Center Ring, so hit us up there. Be sure to follow. Stay in touch. We love you. But let's get into the topic of today's show as the Katowice Major for CSGO is starting up in just a couple days. This is the new Challenger stage. I still feel like we need to tell our listeners that this is the third major since the format change. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Third or fourth? Mm. I think Boston was the first one.
This is the third one, I believe, now.
Right, yeah. So either way, right, this is the stage where this would normally be the major qualifier, right? Like, this was the stage that you would play in to actually qualify for sticker money, right? You got your stickers made and you really felt like you made the major. Valve changed it a couple majors ago to where, nope, we lied. This is now the major and every team in here is going to get stickers.
I think it's cool though.
It's cool. I've warmed up to it. I didn't like it at first because I was like, well, this is obviously just a cash grab for more sticker money, which I am continuing my protest. I have not bought stickers since the announcement and I refuse. Just too many.
I'm going for back-to-back golds right now, so this is big.
Congratulations.
Put my votes in.
Good luck. Maybe we can see that here.
Yeah, good luck, Evan.
It helps with the build-up a little bit for the major, mm-hmm. I think, which is nice because the major qualifier, it was a decent-sized, you know, viewing spectacle, I guess you could say. But with the sticker money and all that and now the betting that goes along with this stage, the build-up is now creating at least and hopefully making the major more of an experience once we get on the stage.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing too, right, is that for these teams that normally would never have a chance to really be seen, you know, a la Avangar, even though they did a couple well, but these smaller teams, Greyhounds, VC Gaming, Furia, Team Spirit, right? These guys were never going to ever, unless they snuck through, but typically these are the teams that would never really ever see a major. And now they get to say it, they get part of that profit share from sticker money, which is really good for their development as far as an org.
And so selling I do think, for sure.
I do think that there is some foundation value that went into play when Valve decided to change the major. And these teams have all been in Europe now for a long time. I think Cloud9 traveled over there. Man, I want to say I saw like the tweet like 3 weeks ago or something. They started a boot camp. All these teams that failed to qualify, like Team Envy, flew out there. So they did make it a bigger skeptical this time. Or ever since the major format change. Let's get into some of the teams here. I don't know if you had any order or news that you wanted to go in when you put up these notes. Did you want to just go in?
Yeah, we can just throw some of them out there. And keep in mind as you're reading these names off, with this being that this new challenger stage, it is kind of crazy how many of these teams we're used to seeing at the end of these tournaments. Right. So right. Go through it, there's so many names here as we'll read through them, but with your Cloud9s, Nips, G2s, like a lot of these Fnatics, all of these guys, we're used to seeing them in that legend stage. And now, you know, they're fighting just to have a chance to compete to even be a legend. So,
yeah, I mean, even throwing even like Vitality, right? I mean,
talking
about not the org, but the players. That organization. Yeah,
you have a lot of championship caliber players in this part of the event, and you know we can kind of just go off of you know maybe their top to bottom. I wish they had they do you know what, so we'll do this in a certain order. I want to explain something.
And before you get that, let me also bring up one thing that we failed to bring up too, is the format this stage. So
that's what I was gonna introduce the teams with that,
but yeah, go so because the way they're doing the format is that it's a 16 team can't really say that very
there
fast.
You go. Yeah.
It's a 16 team Swiss system format. The initial matchups were seeded using an improved player selected seeding.
Yep.
First seed it's at IM Chicago. Voted. Right. Which
teams
I think is
voted for the seeding.
That's about great. That's fair, right? If anyone's going to judge this properly, it's going to be your peers.
And they'll be reseeded after each round going forward. And then all elimination
new, right?
matches.
That is new. Is that something that people have been wanted for a long, long time because it never really felt fair that it was...
Well, because you run into the issue like Mouse Sports and these guys have ran into recently. Your second matchup ends up against another top-tier team that happened to get upset. And now you have two Titans bashing it out to knock each other out of this tournament already. So the reseeding still allows for upset potential, but mm-hmm. you truly have to earn your way there if you're a lower-ranked team. And the ranking system going through the players, I think, is probably, you know, they could have used HLTV rankings. I think that could have really worked also. But the problem with HLTV is if you're not an active team and participating in tournaments throughout the season, and a lot of them, you don't accumulate points. So
especially seeding for a major, is a lot of these teams don't play a lot before majors. You know, they're getting ready for a boot camp, or they just want to take the time off and mentally focus or play offline matches and scrims a lot more. So you don't see a lot of these teams leading up to a major.
Well, look at Nip and these guys. They haven't played a tournament in months, mm-hmm. like a big tournament in months. You know, we haven't seen them at all. So it was seeded 1 to 16. Maybe we kind of work our way from bottom to top here and just kind of run through a couple of them. And
yep.
don't really have to dive in too much on a lot of these guys, but at the bottom of the list is VC Gaming. I think they were a big surprise in a team that performed really well to get to this point. I think we saw what helped them a lot is they were all really good AUG players. The AUG is really, again, kind of taking over, as we've mentioned, and they have a premier player on that team that really exclusively uses that even prior to the change. So they played really well. They surprised if they make it beyond this point. I think it would be the ultimate surprise, but good for them to even, you know, getting here. Windstrike, a team that we all saw as legends, you know, just a year ago. Major upset for them crazy. To get to that point. It really, yeah, it's mind-blowing that they were able to do that. But again, for them, look at what this did for them, because they lost a lot of players. I say lost. They've changed a couple of players since then. They were able to get the type of talent in, and probably a lot of that is because they stayed relevant after having legend status for, you know, 6 months on their names. So you can see that it at least kept them in the sticker money. They're still involved and still have a chance. You know, Greyhound is one of those interesting ones. We could probably talk about them for a second here, but a lot of people have them predicted as, and I'm kind of seeing it as people start to post their pictures of their picks and all that. Greyhound is their 0-3 team. I find that to be, you know, a little surprising, I guess, just because they, you know, have Dick Stacey, who played well last time around. Beyond
that,
they did
play in the ESL playoffs. I mean, they do have some playoff stage tournament style experience.
That team did get kind of picked apart once the Renegades and them kind of did some of the mesh work that they did, but a lot of people have them as the 0-3. I guess it wouldn't surprise me looking at how some of these other teams are playing.
It's kind of lack of choices, right? I mean, you're looking at like three teams in here that you could say, well, they're a good candidate for 0-3, and you just kind of pick the team that's, I guess, not as known, I guess, outside of Furia. So,
and Furia reminds me a little bit of like the Brazilian version of VC Gaming, right? It's like the second tier players from the Chinese group are on VC Gaming. Same thing, Furia, the Brazilian talent is so deep that they're able to, you know, fill a second, third team to make it into this tournament. But, you know, Kay Serato on Furia was once rumored to join MIBR. Vinny played really well in the matches leading up to this. So they could be a surprise team. Wouldn't have high expectations for them, but you know, you never know. They played well enough to get to this point. This was tough because really, again, only eight teams advance out of this, right? Out of the 16,
yeah. eight teams make it. Eight teams are left behind. One thing to, if you want to branch off that, so everything is a best of one until elimination matches. Elimination matches are best of three.
Yep, best of three for elim matches, and I found it difficult to find eight easy picks out of the grouping, right? I thought there was a top heavy of like four that I could say for sure I think are going to make it through. And then there was like a group of that middle six to, you know, 5 to 10 kind of grouping that I thought, man, really any one of these could pull off a win against one another if you look at it. And I think, you know, a lot of it starts here with Spirit, who you see them in the mix, right? They're always kind of there. We joke about them a lot. But they're constantly in these types of situations to where, hey, one win can propel them to the big stage. They haven't necessarily done it yet, but now you're on the big stage. You're in the major. And they're just one of those teams that they lurk around. Same thing with Ty Lue. It's like an enticing pick, right? Like you always are like, oh, could this be the Chinese team that kind of does it for them?
Is this going to be the major that they break through?
Yeah, like, is this the major for them? Honestly, I think VC has just as good of a chance as they do to advance. We've seen this lineup with Ty Lue for a long time now. They've really stuck with them through thick and thin. Mm-hmm. I think it would be awesome if they could pull it off, but there's just so much inconsistencies there that it's, you know, that it's hard to say.
The problem with saying anything about the Chinese teams in CSGO is that, I mean, we don't see them as often, right? So, I mean, even just from personal knowledge, you only ever see them at these type of tournaments or where they're specifically invited to. And even then, we don't see them very often. I think they see this type of skill base even less, you know? The teams that they're playing on a more consistent level over on the Oceanic side of CSGO, you know, I'm sorry, Renegades, but you just don't stack up to
Fnatic or NRG or an NA talent.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just not. Yeah. So it is different when they get over here to a major. They really kind of have to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, there's no like scrimming against those guys either. Like you're just too far apart to have a feasible matchup and do that properly. So yeah, they are trying to take that step to advance to the big boys, and they're always just knocking at the door. And so again, a lot of these you'll kind of feel that way about Vega being another one. We've seen them in these positions before. They've fielded who are their big guys right now. I guess JR is still there, Hutchie is still there. I mean, they still have a very similar roster to what they've always had. Not seeing many changes there. And again, I feel the same way about them that I do about, you know, these next few teams. Renegades, kind of in that same mix, right? Like, what do people say about Renegades? Oh, they were so close when they had Nifty on the team, and they really made that one solid run with them, and it was like, oh, feel good moment. And then again, step back. Some roster changes happened with them, and you know, we'll kind of see. This is where we get into the top eight. I think this is where it gets really interesting. I think a lot of people's sleepers pick is Avangar to make it out of the grouping. Again, one of those teams I just don't know a ton about. You know, I haven't watched a lot of Kazakhstan CS recently.
You know, we can get into it after we get through all the teams. I want to get into the teams that obviously we each think are going to make it out, like our top eight.
Yeah.
I am curious to hear, though, because I almost look at the top eight that the players voted, and I could just see that being a straight shuffle into the next stage. Like, I know you said, like, you have, like, your four locks, but I'm really curious to see then on who your iffy teams are, or, like, the bottom eight who you think might move to the top eight.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think this is where the big names come, right, from 7-0. So people could say, if you're just looking at big name talent, 7 and up looks like a lock for most people, right? From the outside in, you have G2 sitting there at 7. Do they have the talent to do it? Yes, they've always had the talent. Can they do it? Another story, right?
They have the names. I don't know if if they have the talent anymore.
At some point, they've had like 3 out of these 5 people be in HLTV's top 20. Whether it's still there and they can all do it at the same time, that's another story.
Yeah, it's do they have the talent to make it out of challengers? Yes, but beyond that, it's like a question mark. But here, I mean,
if you think it's a given with the G2,
no,
yeah,
at this point, you're crazy, because they're just so
in the challenger stage though, and like this, you look at the teams that are here. It's just
I'm blanking on it right now, but they just lost to who was it? Was it Ents?
After that first round, and half of these bad teams drop into a loser's bracket, so let's say they naturally get out of this. I mean, they're going to be playing, what, Renegades first round, I'm pretty sure, right? No, who do they got?
They lost to Complexity back at the Summit. I mean, they have lost to some bad teams, man.
They're playing Vega in the first round.
And if you think that's a gimme with Vega, the way...
Definitely not. So not that team. I'll give you that. Okay.
With G2, so you have them at 7, and we'll kind of run through this so we can jump into some more of the games and actual predictions. You got Vitality at 7. That's a split off of this G2 team. A full French team trying to make strides, see what they do. Ents at number 5. Ents at number 5. Again, they've been playing awesome. It would be great to see them go through. Easy for Ents. It's great to see that meme back and alive again. NIP at 4. Cloud9 at 3. Top dogs coming in here, NRG at 2 and Fnatic at 1. Again, with this being preseeded, we do get to see our first round matchups and them kicking off. And again, this goes off all on Wednesday, February 13th. But if we want to just go into predictions rather than discussing first round, I don't think that that
no, Swiss personally format, matters it's as much. Not. It doesn't matter in Swiss format because we can discuss the first round until our faces are blue, and then the second round between the seeding and reseed, it's like it's
the second round happens 2 hours after the first round. Yeah, so no need to dive into it too much, and more so I think it'd be cool.
Which
to
is
see.
Why we wait to do our full on like official exclusive major episode because. Yes, this is part of the major, but with the Swiss format and everything, it's you're not playing on the big stage. You know, the major for me is still when the big stage starts. So yeah, let's just kind of get into predictions and we can use that as an excuse to talk about some of these guys.
Should we go with a couple of gimmies right off the top and work our way down? That might be more interesting here.
Yeah, I am curious on your stickers. So let me tell you that who's your 3-0?
My 3-0 was NRG.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And NRG is my 3-0. I have my 0-3 was, man, I almost feel like I need to pull it up while I'm here. I think I had my 0-3 as, I did have my 0-3 as Greyhound. Greyhound is my 0-3 also.
As we said earlier,
I'm on the bandwagon.
You were just talking to
him. Yeah, they have some roster changes. That's why I looked into it. But I had them as my 0-3. I think the ones that, are the gimmies are your Fnatic, your NRG, your NiP, and Cloud9. I think those are kind of gimme picks of the four. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be tough, you know, we've seen NiP kind of bomb in these, and maybe my heart's a little bit there, but I have faith in them with their experience to make it out of a kind of a less experienced group here.
Yeah.
I guess the same can be said for some of these French teams. I just have a lack of faith. Again, you'll notice I'm picking the favorites in a lot of these situations to be mm-hmm. the ones to advance. What I could tell you is why I think there's a good chance that we see maybe a couple of exits that we don't expect. Ents having an opportunity to perform in a major situation, really Alu being the guy on this team that has a majority of this experience. I don't think any of them have been on the major stage before. Good players, though. I mean, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Sergi or Sergey, has been probably their star player on this team. But Alu is the only one that comes in with, again, major experience. And I think this nerves always play a factor, regardless of the sport, right? It doesn't matter, football, basketball, esports, like it's all relevant. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see a team like that falter. I don't think you can sit here and be like, well, yeah, they're ranked high right now. Yeah, but they also haven't done anything in a major before. So let's see how they stack up against teams that have Ty Lue, Renegades, Vegas Squadron, even, you know, Windstrike making the run that they made. They all have more experience than a team like Ents. With that being said, I think Ents is playing good enough that I would pick them to advance it at this point in time.
Did you have Vitality as one?
I did. And I only because of their recent matches,
they've
been playing better.
I've been riding that bandwagon for a while now, just because I think Zywoo is legit. And I think he is good enough to kind of boost the team over the edge, especially in like the new challenger stage. Which, I know we just said first rounds don't mean much, but their first round is against Ty Lue. So that's not a terrible team to have your first round up against. I mean, you could have had it worse. But I have been impressed with how they've been playing lately. Because there was a time where they were kind of playing at a lower level. And then the fact that there was rumors.
Vitality started off really bad.
Yeah, and, well, and then there was rumors that they were going to blow up the roster. And it was like, you guys just started. You're already going to blow it up. But they
French scene, it's going to happen. Doesn't matter.
Right. But then they stuck with it. And now it looks, you know, it does look like kind of a legit competitor.
Yeah, like they played, you know, a couple of their matches. That looks like the last six of their matches that they've at least played in. But yeah, I think they're a team that has a talent like Zywoo on it that is undeniably one of the best players on that team. And I think going into this season is projected to be a top 20 player. I think also with the experience of RPK, NBK, Apex, these guys have all been there. And Alex is coming from LDLC. So let's not get it to where we think he's like some, you know, no name. He's playing in really big tournaments before. So it wouldn't be surprising to see them advance, especially with their recent form. I think the next one is the issue. I think G2 is really the question mark of the group, because if they lose a first round game versus a team like Vega and they fall into that next bracket, man, you talk about nerves kicking in. These guys will be sweating. And how many times have we seen a team like G2, especially in the French scene, just crumble under that type of pressure and don't live up to the expectations? I feel like it's more so the norm than it is, you know, the other way around with them. Again, I think they have the talent to advance, so I'm going to put my sticker money on them because I think it's the easier, safer pick. But, you know, you get a first-round loss against Vega and you fall into that loser's bracket. Seeding's not going to help you, you know, the whole way through. You're going to have to play another tough team to advance at some point. And I don't really know if they, you know, if they have it in them. But, yeah, I would at least pick them initially to go through.
Yeah, I mean, I think G2 is obviously going to be your question mark for reasons we stated a couple minutes ago, is that they've just, like in 2018, were, the, in my opinion, the most up-and-down top-tier team. You know, mm-hmm. you had them, like, losing to teams like Complexity at the summit, you know, at the CS summit and stuff. And they've tournaments that you felt like, okay, this is one of the easier ones G2 is going to have all year. And then they would just bomb it. And it wasn't just in like best of ones. It was best of threes. And that's where you always say the better team wins. Like anyone can win a best of one, but they're still losing best of threes. So I don't know.
When we talk about it, I almost want to change place on my picks. Like, the more I sit here,
what do you want
to change D2 to Avangar on my picks, like in my pick?
I'm almost tempted
to even do it. Yeah. Like, the more I sit here and talk about it, I'm like, dude, they're going to choke this. Why do I have faith that this is going to go well all of a sudden for them? But yeah, I think they're such a big question mark in any game that they play in, a good team or a bad team, a team that's slumping or a team that's going off. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get. So. They're really the big question mark. For me, my sleeper pick, I picked Furia, personally, to advance through. And I think they are, what, the 13th seed right now, so mm-hmm. It makes me a little nervous to put them in. But I really enjoyed watching them play in the qualifier for this. Vinny, to me, watching him with the AUG was, like, magical, dude. The guy was just so precise, you know, whether it was scoped in or not. His spray was on point. I think Brazilian teams have a good kind of loose structure to them, if that makes sense. But the way they play, they all kind of seem to have a really confident play style. And man, Brazilians don't crumble under pressure. That's a big difference between them and the French teams. Brazilian teams know how to step up in the moment. And I think they have, you know, I think they have a good chance to do that. I think they're good enough to advance. So, I mean, I picked them. As a sleeper pick, I wanted to throw somebody kind of fun in there. More than likely, they don't get through, but I think as an underdog, they have one of the chances.
So that all starts in about 2 days, not even, more like a day from us recording this. On the 13th is when the new challenger stage starts. I think the first matchup you have is Renegades versus Avangar, and then Fnatic, yeah. VC. So you got some pretty good, actually they play
Tyloo the Vitality will be a fun matchup. I think that's one to watch. Ents and Spirit, you know, G2, Vega, Nip, Furia, those are all good first round matchups. And I think also important for a team like NRG to come out of the block hot. Cause they're also a team that we've seen, they have this crazy high ranking right now in the world.
Well, just being ranked second tells you what their peers even think about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Like where are they at? They're number five right now. Ranked on HLTV, and they're a team that we've also seen falter under pressure situations and haven't advanced where we thought they should, or haven't step up where they needed to step up. And so they're another team that if they lose that first game, you know, I think these guys, a lot of these teams will be on their heels, and it could be really tough for them. Who do y'all have as your sleeper eighth pick? Because I think that's the questionable one for everybody just looking at names, right? Do y'all think would be your eighth one in here?
Avangar doesn't count, right? Because they were already top eight as far as seeding goes, right?
So you can, but if your top eight is the top eight, then that is what it is. You know, if you think those are the top eight that are going through, then awesome. You know,
that okay.
Makes it.
So that's what I will say. I do think I see the top eight. I think that is what's going through. So that being said, if I had to pick a sleeper, it would be mm-hmm. someone not in the top eight. And I would say Vega. I would say Vega Squadron is going to be my sleeper pick.
And I'm kind of right there with you, Tim. That's actually the team I was looking at. They're a team that's kind of always just there, right?
And, they are, for sure.
And they've played well in these types of tournaments to move on to the next stage as well. So when nobody really picked them to move on. So I'll just take that little bit of experience over teams like...
Can't you know, sleep Furia on the Sharks either.
Or, you know, Avangar and what have you, Windstrike.
Really can't. That's what I'm saying. If I was G2, I'd be sweating. That's a tough first round game to have right there. Those are two equally matched teams at this point, I feel.
Yeah, and just Kenny lately, he just looks so like if he does lose that first match, he just gets tilted.
Okay.
You know,
what
it's
do you
just
mean,
that type
what do you
of player,
mean
right?
Lately.
Like, always just
he's always doing that episode on the fall of G2 after the major or after this next round if we wanted to. If these guys play like it's 2016, they haven't changed their play style or adapted the tactical side of CS like a lot of other teams have needed to, and Kenny and them, you hear Steel called him out, you know, Steel called him out on saying like you're like the most aggressive opper that worked back then. Can't really do that in today's game. You're gonna get punished,
yeah.
And you see it over and over that they don't change that approach.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
And even there are aggressive oppers that out there that have changed the way they play, like Fallen. Maybe that was a big reason why they kind of fell off for a little bit. You know, not him not being as effective because teams are just more prepared, like you said. So, yeah, it's all about adapting, and maybe his. Maybe it's just an ego that just won't change.
I think that's the French scene. I think you just summed up the French
mentality.
Scene. Like you could probably replace Kenny S with anyone in the French scene, and that's just the mentality of that. But again, that's on Wednesday. Obviously, keep up with it. We're going to talk about it next week and pretty much for the next couple of weeks as the major goes on. We kind of just turn into a full major podcast until it's over with, but rightfully so. Rightfully so. Valve doesn't care about it. Someone has to.
Dang.
It's got to be us. Maybe we'll talk about the Fortnite tournament there, but I digress. Because our next topic today, this we actually didn't talk about this at all when it happened. Mainly just it got lost in the shuffle. But a couple weeks ago, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, did you guys see the story where an esports racing pro, so he races like simulators, mm-hmm. beat an ex Formula One driver on a real life track, like real cars moving
twice.
And everything. Yeah, no, it was like a legit race too. So it wasn't like just a show match or anything. Like it actually happened.
Yeah, on a legit like road course too. Like it's insane.
One was like an Indy car and one was like another type of car. This guy only practices in simulators.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this didn't get enough news. No, I'm not going to lie. It's not like I'm really on the beat of racing news. So maybe this hit that world a little harder because it is an amazing story. And it brings us to our topic today of, are these VR simulators really going to ever, are we ever going to see a day where maybe they do take over some of these sports that allow for it? I don't think you'll ever see like football or team sports in that sense being taken over by it just because it's different, I guess. But we actually
had team sports.
Yeah. Team sports, things like that where VR just isn't really there. But like, because it's difficult to create a simulation of football, right? But with like these NASCAR simulators, we're about to talk about with like cycling simulators, airplane. I mean, hell, they train pilots on a simulator, you know, like that's mainly how they do it now, which is kind of crazy to think of. Like you get it on a plane and you're like, have you ever flown before? And it's like Microsoft Simulator. Don't worry about it.
Got 2,000 hours, bro. I'm global.
Airplane simulator. I only crash 1% of the time.
great.
I'll take those odds.
We had this company reach out to us. They're called CVR World Cup. They emailed us saying, hey guys, we'd love to come on the show and kind of talk about, you know, what we do. So we had Frank Garcia, CEO and founder of CVR World Cup, on the show. Again, I posted it the other day on YouTube, so maybe you've already seen it. If not, go to our YouTube. You can find that on our website, tcr.gg, or Google is a pretty powerful tool nowadays. You could probably just Google it. But we had their CEO. I recorded it off air one day to kind of talk to him about it, because what it is I really don't even know how to describe it. Think of cycling, right? Like you're on a bicycle and you're cycling and everything, like the Tour de France. But it's all digital. Like you're on a real bike, you're pedaling, kind of like a Peloton or a cycling class, but all this is simulating your digital character actually racing. Did I describe that fairly? I know you guys watch some of the videos as well.
I think making it more complicated, it's like just basically a simulation on a Peloton, right? Like it's a bike that understands your speed, your movement, your turning structure,
your resistance,
like
if you're going uphill, downhill, things like that.
And it's just a bike simulator, but it's not necessarily VR because they're not wearing, like it's not VR in the sense that they're sitting there with headsets on doing this. They're
but I don't think neither are like the racing ones, right? When you're in a car, you're in like almost like a cockpit, right?
Yeah, you're in like a cockpit, a little simulator type thing. But yeah, in the sense that it is a, you know, it's, don't think of it as an Oculus or something on them.
Right. It's a simulator, I guess, which is a little different than I know Nuge is our VR guy. I don't want to offend any VR enthusiasts. I don't know if a simulator and VR is the same
thing. It's in his Twitter name, so he has to. So.
That's right. So I want to play a few clips of Frank Garcia. Again, he's the CEO of CVR World Cup. You can find them on Twitter at CVR World Cup. And their website, which I believe is just CVR World Cup. I'll look that up. Yep, CVRWorldCup.com. I really do encourage you. Like, even it, like, here's the thing. Here's a little thing about me that you might not know. I don't know how to ride a bike. So even like for me, who has never ridden a bike in my life, like I still watch this and I am fascinated by it, because you think, oh, it's a simulator. How hard can it be, right? No. These people.
Did you just never get on a bike? Sorry, we need to go back to this.
It always bogs people down when they hear about it. I try to get past it.
Wait, you just never got onto a bike when you were a kid?
I was a skater.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
I was on a skateboard. I was on skateboards and rollerblades and.
I mean, me and you being the good showmates, right? We need to take this responsibility on. We need to teach Tim how to ride a bike.
No, but I don't. There's not been once in my life where I thought, oh, I wish I could ride a bike right now. Never.
I'll be on one side and Anoush could be on the other.
We're in an apocalypse. There's no gasoline. You don't have an electric car. You need to get around quickly. What are you going to walk? You're going to get on the freaking skateboard with broken down streets and stuff? Like, you need a bike, dude.
No.
We're going to teach you how to ride a bike. We can do this. Problem.
You're not the first people to bring this up. It's not like, I've heard it before. I've accepted
VR biking. Would you consider VR biking?
I've accepted my life. Despite your wife almost killing my wife with VR.
We'll go slow. We can't go that fast.
It's okay. Your wife put my wife in the hospital with her cycling class, but that's for a different time. I think I would give this a shot. I'll play the first clip of audio here, because this is one of the things I asked Frank, because you watch it and you're like, damn, this has to be like a pretty intensive setup. And he was like, not really. I mean, if you already have a cycling bike and the room to do it in, it's not that much. So here's him talking about kind of just the startup cost.
Yeah, exactly. And so you can start pretty inexpensively if you have a bike and a computer. It's like $150 for a trainer and that will work, and hook up some ant stuff and whatnot, and you're probably all in for $200-$300.
Like that's crazy.
That
doesn't seem bad at all.
I mean, it's enticing, right? Because I mean, for biking, those bikes are expensive. And looking at NASCAR and IndyCars, those cars are expensive and the upkeep on them is expensive. So if you can get a following and then kind of get sponsors on involved, I could see how this could kind of eat into the popularity of those types of events just from an ownership standpoint, right? I mean, the upkeep is very, very small. And the upkeep on those real machines, you know, IRL machines, is expensive.
Those real street bicycles, those are, right? No so, wear and tear, I mean, right? You pretty much can just buy it once just for the sake of getting the gear and everything going, but...
So it's like a real bike that you're on? Or
that's
you
a
buy
real... No, it's a real bike.
Stationary bike. And you need a you need a computer and a stationary bike, or you need a computer and a real bike?
From what I understand, real bike. And then it's what whatever it trainer... Then? That's what he's talking about. That's what's like the $200, $300 bucks is the setup to put it on, and it will read your pedaling and all that. You know, I'm sure there is some type of instructions on how to do it. I'm more so fascinated in, though, if you watch it, it's like they are legit cyclers doing it. You know,
I mean, these dudes are in shape. Guys and girls are in like complete shape to do this,
and they're like squirting themselves down with water bottles and like drinking. Like they're sweating.
It's so funny because you think of like esports, right? And you always see, this is always the thing when you tell someone who's not into esports about esports, and they're always like, so it's just like people sitting on their couches or something, right? It's just you're in your basement, in your parents' basement, just eating Cheetos, playing video games. And then here, it is this blend of, he's combining esports with the traditional aspect of sports. And I think this opens up a door to a lot of people, right? Some people who, you know, maybe you were a big cyclist and you got into a car wreck or something, you know, got hit by a car, and now you're like mentally blocked out from doing it outside. Maybe you're like me and you got allergies and you're fat and you just don't
really ride a bike
outside,
ride a bike and stuff, right? I could technically do this. I could technically go, and apart from just not being physically fit, I'd get there, right? Maybe there's like a overweight category, and then I could just play.
There should be
overweight.
It's called spin class.
Spin class.
I could do that. So this is him talking about a little bit about how it originally, when it started, because the game they use is like their thing. How it's kind of developed. It used to just kind of be like a power thing, like just kind of, hey, just pedal fast, and the game will kind of do everything else for you. Kind of what you would assume it would be like. And now they've kind of designed it to be a little bit more skill-based.
Really, you do feel it in your legs going uphill, but there's no crashing in real life. And so, you know, a couple of things there is you crash a lot. And I have many, many scars and broken bones and visits to the trauma centers to back that up. And but a lot of what causes that is you have to fight for position, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go for it and, you know, you just go as hard as you can and hope a space opens up. So that was different as well. But we've added that into the game. So, you know, while you're not going to get injured crashing, in CV Arcade, you crash people, you can't just go through them on a sprint. So it's not all about power. It's a lot about skill as well. So, and I think that will continue, to get, you know, closer and closer, to, you know, more skill-based, whereas previously it's been a little bit more about how much power you can output and how much you can suffer.
This is something that really got me thinking about this topic for today's episode is, are we going to see a world where this type of thing, right, the simulated bike racing or simulated NASCAR racing or... hear me out, simulated like jet fights, you know, like in a real kick-ass simulator and everything. Will we see these someday take over as far as like a popular spectator sport? Because I could see where like that crowd kind of buys into it.
I mean, there are talks. I mean, I'm not really sure or done the research on, you know, if there's an epidemic in like crashes in cycling. So if there is, and what that guy was talking about is a real problem that's kind of massive out there, I could see that being being kind of a selling point. And then also, I mean, there are other traditional sports like football that are making changes as far as like player safety and what have you. Even the talks where they're not going to use helmets anymore, right? Like eventually, maybe
like
because of the head trauma. So right. There are changes being made, and you know, physical safety is becoming more prevalent in those type of bigger sports. So I could see something like cycling that isn't as popular. I mean, if you tell my grandfather or my father, hey, they're not going to be playing football on a field anymore. It's going to be a bunch of dudes really fit on a VR machine, just kind of running it. They're not going to be sold on that, right?
Right.
But this type of thing,
and you know, hear it in the full interview. I asked him, like, you know, do you have, you know, naysayers of the cycling community? And he's like, absolutely. Like, you're always going to get those cyclist purists or just those sports purists who see it as not real cycling. And I get that. And that's why I'm not saying it's going to completely overtake it. Like, you're always going to have the Tour de France, right? You're always going to have these huge cycling races. But, you know, if you're looking at, I can't even imagine the cost it takes for like these races that take across the whole city, where you're shutting down like highways and major intersections and roads to do all of this setup, you know, and all this security that you have to go over. I wonder if these smaller marathon organizers will look at something like this and say, if we get enough people to recognize the equivalence of the effort that these people are putting in to like CVR World Cup, the physical effort I'm talking about, like the competitors putting in, if they are putting out as much effort and getting this respect from actual cyclists, right? And I say that because none of us are actual cyclists. I mean, unless a nude, you just pick it up over the weekend and none of us know about it.
Not in time recently.
You know, I could see where this doesn't overtake it, but definitely joins, you know, those type of sports as far as being like a main source of entertainment.
So my take on that is I could see it being a source of entertainment, but I don't see them having any sort of crossover unless they do something combined where, like you would say, at an event they do one of these types of events.
Well, that's like here, if you watch their old events on YouTube,
they're,
I mean,
doing
that's
it in the background.
That's what they're at, like another cycling, an indoor cycling track doing it there.
That's kind of where I see it happening, just because a lot of these people that like viewers and stuff, A, want the big names to be in these events, right?
Right.
And chances are a big name is not going to do a digital race or virtual race. And then B, it's also the experience for like fans to like go out to these events, right? And a lot of these big marathons and all that have all these crazy sponsors that are tied to it, which you really can't do the same way in a virtual event, especially if people are having to watch online, right? Like, you know, these guys have banners stretched for miles with every sponsor, and usually some sort of charity thing is involved or tied to these types of things. And so I would find it hard to believe that there's that. I think there'll be a segment for these types of games, but like if you look at it, golf has had like real life simulators that you can go into. I'm sure that, well, I can't even imagine what the pros are using, where they're hitting it into a screen and it projects the trajectory.
Where it goes.
But there's something about being on a golf course that's different. It's just different, right? And you can never match that in a virtual simulation. You can't get the feel of the wind hitting you in your face, or you know, it's just something about it, right? The crowd around the 18th hole on a course or at the finish line of a marathon. Those are hard to match or give fans that type of feel that you would see in a virtual type game. There'll be a place for it, but it'll be its own little nook for people that want to participate in that way. But I don't think you'll see any loss from the traditional side of these events.
And Lance Armstrong participate.
He would win 7
Tour CRV tour championships,
the Tour de Endor.
Right, and like I said, I agree. I don't think it's necessarily going to take over, and I don't think that's the goal of these. Right, I think they're just trying to be a
give
part
people
of
another option. Yeah,
and yeah. I mean, would you think about it? Right, like Frank Garcia, the CEO of CVR, he's a former competitor. He's a former cyclist, and he even said, like, look, after I broke so many bones, I decided, like, I want to try something different, maybe not break bones. And this is that replacement, right? And like, how many times do you think there are cyclists out there that like have to give it up because of, for whatever reason, they can't go out on the street anymore, right? They can't do the ridiculous long treks that they do, or the hardcore competitor.
Well, like it's a,
why do people do these types of things, right? It's to compete, right? So yeah, this is where I think the space is huge, because now, for somebody that is a cyclist outdoors, right, but weather is bad or they just don't feel like, you know, getting out today, they can do it there in their house and compete against people around the world where, hey, they're all using the same technology, you know, it's accurate. So you can get that sense of competition without maybe having to wait for the next big tournament 6 months mm-hmm. from now. And so I think you'll see crossover in the sense of like real cycle enthusiasts are going to want to maybe have this at their house. How awesome would that be to be able to go home and compete on a weekend basis?
I think it's also too, like, for people you have to think who have a bike and they want to do the cycling stuff. I think there's a ghost in Brett's house, or someone just walked behind his webcam.
Yeah, Lynn's is trying to crash the show.
Oh, we have Brett's wife. What's her opinion? But I do think like this does open up a lot of opportunity for people where, you know, say you live remotely in like Montana or some, you know, that's remotely to me, I guess. I don't know. No,
let's go North Dakota, Montana.
No,
go North Dakota.
No disrespect
like
to our Montanian listenership, but
is that the proper? I mean, you're kind of doubling down at that point if you don't know.
I don't know, but like, imagine, right? Like, you probably have people that, you know, have kids or whatever. They can't go out to these races and travel, right? They don't have the funds to get all the fancy gear. And then not to mention even the logistics of traveling with a bike and everything, right? This allows that. I think this opens the door to a different community as well as welcoming in the cycling community.
Yeah.
In
It'll
reality,
have a lot of application, a lot of use.
Right. In reality, we could do it. not saying it would be good.
I bet my wife would actually love something like that. But now we that could. I think about it. Yeah, she would probably play that.
Just, there you go. And for like first a couple hundred bucks, you could set that up. Just she can use your old PC.
Your old PC. I'll put it in the other room. Gives me more time to game. Even
there,
now.
You go.
Or she could put it. You could put it in there, and you guys could spend more. You know, just gonna be good quality time.
She's
you're gaming. I'm
cycling.
Gaming.
She's cycling right behind me right here while we're.
Yeah.
And then the background noise would drive me nuts, and I would just mute you anyways. Let's do like okay. And again, I want to just pimp them out. The full interview is on our YouTube. Go check it out. It is a very good interview. It's only about like 20 minutes. It won't take your whole time up. Just go and check it out while you're there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We put all the episodes up there. Eventually, when hell freezes over, we'll put more content. But for now, it's just our episodes. It's CVR World Cup. Go follow them on Twitter at CVR World Cup. And if anything, go watch some of their races on YouTube, because even if you're not into cycling, you can appreciate the aspect of what they're trying to do and introduce esports to that world. That's what we're all about, right? That's what we're here for, is to spread the love of esports and find the way you can best suit the application.
It was like watching GTA 5 cycling without the killing.
It was awesome.
It maybe was, like, that's pretty cool. Maybe they can patch that in. can we do this? I know we wanted to talk about, what's the game called? Apex?
Bro.
Whoa.
The attitude like that.
Yeah, I know, man. Okay.
Well. I just click play and I just get headshots, okay? I don't need to know what the game is called. I just win. Let's table that, because we're already kind of running long. Let's table it for next week and do a proper discussion on it.
Like it.
Right. Deal? because I don't want to give it 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, for God's sakes, the game is having 2 million concurrent players. I think it warrants more than just a 5-minute discussion. So let's do that. Let's table talk the Apex talk for next week. And yeah, we'll do that. So let's get into some e-news, shall we?
We shall.
Of course, e-news brought to you by Spaceman Company. At Spaceman Company on Twitter. Go ahead and check them out. They design clothing. Quite nice attire, if you will. Their website, spacemanco.com. Tell them TCR sent you. Good dudes over there at Spaceman Company on Twitter. Getting into some CSGO. We mentioned it last week that Star Ladder is getting the next major. So that will be interesting. TSM is looking to get back into CSGO.
Which is, like, it's... I know why. Hey, why do we mention a team that's looking to potentially get back in?
They were huge.
Because they're a huge organization, and they had some of the best eye for talent.
Do you think it makes them sick, though? Like, I know their former TSM roster left on good terms. It was just a, we're EU, you're an NA org, it's not working out. But their former team, for those who don't know, was Astralis. And like, yeah, they were good as with TSM. They were okay. But it seemed like as soon as they left the organization and did their own full-on Europe org, it just, boom.
Okay, like, so look at their eye for talent. They had Astralis on that roster, right? Then they got rid of that roster, so they went to a full NA roster. On that roster, they found Sick, they found Automatic, and they found Twist, currently of Team Liquid. I mean, these guys know how to identify talent, so I would love for them to come back into the scene and hopefully find a way to do that again. And that's the only reason I put them on there, is I thought that, you know, that's one organization that's at least warrants news about coming into your sport, because they do a good job in really anything they're involved.
Well, and I think people who have watched Counter-Strike 5 or so years ago, I mean, that was a normal team.
Yeah,
that was a normal team. That was a staple team at every event.
Yep.
IEM Sydney, E-United, and Swole Patrol roster swap mid-tournament.
E-United plucked, like, their three best players mid-tournament. Like, these guys just advanced in the tournament, and they took, Dazzle? It took, like, they took three of them midway through, which the two, you're like, well, if they took three of them, what about the other two? Well, one of them they couldn't take because it's Brax. They want a team that can ultimately compete. Go to a major. And then Somm, who was formerly on Complexity, then became a Complexity streamer, now playing for them. He's just really young, a talent in the NA scene. But he's the other remaining player over there. But yeah, they're like mid-tournament and pulled three of their players after they both competed in this tournament. So just funny the way that worked out.
Nothing surprises me anymore about the Swole Patrol roster. Nothing.
Yeah. That, it'd be nice if
they just got torn apart.
Free Brax from this, because a poor guy keeps swapping teams just to get his best players pulled every time.
Yeah,
so.
there was a tweet that I saw. I just wanted to put a blanket over him and tell him it was going to be okay. He was so depressed.
When he was like, it's okay, I'll bounce back or something.
Yeah.
He needs to just go play on a team with Steel, because they're both in the same situation, so they can go through it together. Like, it doesn't make sense for them to be separated at this point, unless they get unbanned.
Right.
The Dota 2 news I thought was really cool. I don't know if y'all talked about that last episode or not.
We did not.
But Dota 2 announced their new major, which is going to be at Disneyland Paris, coming up for their next one. So that should be a spectacle, dude. That should be something. I expect big things out of that major. I'm not going to lie.
Like Mickey Mouse stage hosting or something?
Yeah, everything. It's Disney. Like, you have everything available to you at Disneyland. I mean, please tell me this is going to be fireworks, and like, I want a magical castle behind the winners, and I mean, they could do whatever they wanted to at this type of event, especially for Dota, something that's cartoony and fits into the Disney world to a certain extent, and the team, you know, certain aspects, not the killing, but like the cartoony vibe, they could really have some fun with.
We'll see.
I mean, we'll see. Disney, there's killing in Disney movies, come on, man.
This is all, it could also be big for is Disney getting into esports, you know?
Right.
Like, where's their interest at? If you have, you know, Disney money, that's a whole different level of marketing that you could use. And
yeah, just
maybe the next Overwatch game is all Disney characters going at it.
Well, I mean, it's on Disney, so there Disney, you go. Right
Disney after MOBA. Disney MOBA incoming. Yeah. In other news, you do have E-League and TBS continuing their coverage of Rocket League. They kind of re-announced that. Always good. I think I've always said it where Rocket League is the easiest for TV viewership. Like if you were just an average Joe wanting to get into esports or anything like that, I think Rocket League has the most appeal. It's one of the reasons why we suggested a couple episodes ago, if you were brand new as far as wanting to buy an org to get into esports, I think we all kind of agreed Rocket League is a good one to start for that reason.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool. Zen on our Twitch chat, Anuj, said you just want to dress like a princess, which is why you want esports.
I would do
that. Oh, man.
You could be Jasmine. Get that Indian representation going.
Whoa.
I can show you the world.
I don't know where you're going with that, but what's next?
This got kind of intense when Team Liquid's owner called out Blizzard for how they handled the HOTS debacle. If you haven't, go check on Twitter. I think it was on Liquid's official one. I think it was retweeted a couple times or tweeted on a few accounts. But the owner of Team Liquid pretty much called out Blizzard saying, like, you screwed up. Like, it's okay that you ditched HOTS, but in the way that you did, it was not acceptable. And he makes a good point. He said, like, this isn't just a Super Bowl ad where you drop some money in and you get advertisement, right? And you pull out or whatever. This was you had a full-on ecosystem behind you. Like, it wasn't just the players. It was orgs. It was managers, you know, photographers. Like, people built their lives around this. And for you just to announce that just pull the plug, I think it was... It's good to see that an organization is stepping up to Blizzard, you know. We also know what organization is not getting into the next Overwatch League expansion. So,
there you go.
We figure that out.
Liquid is not buying Overwatch. Yeah, 2 years, that might be a blessing for them. You never know.
Yeah.
Blizzard Activision isn't vindictive, right?
No, and you know, I don't know if it's really esportsy enough to bring it on the show, but we're all gamers as well, and Blizzard Activision announced that later on in the week, it's kind of been teased that they're doing big layoffs coming up.
Yep.
The Overwatch League is not bringing back the former makeup team. Seems like a weird flex on their part, but okay. We've already known that they didn't bring back most of the production crew from last year. They just announced, though, that they signed a deal with Coca-Cola and have $1 billion in profits. So... I don't know what to think of it. I don't. Maybe we could talk about that on a later episode because it's too much for E! News. I don't get it.
It's a story that's not going to go away. So, yeah, if we talk about it here in the next couple of weeks, it's definitely still going to be relevant because, I mean, it's something... There's news coming out of that organization pretty frequently. So...
I'm just torn. Yeah, it seems so weird. And then again, we said we'll talk about it next week. And you know what? This is a good time. I'm glad that we waited to talk about Apex because tomorrow is the first quote unquote tournament of it. They're doing the Twitch Rivals 200K tournament starting tomorrow. And you have all the big streamers, Doc and his team, Shroud and his team, everyone.
Don't look at this like a professional tournament, guys. This is a streamer hosted tournament.
Yes.
By Twitch.
But still, I mean, we'll be able to kind of see.
Oh, no, for sure. I just don't want people to be like, oh, how are these guys getting to play? It's for and built for the streamers and get some more show around the game. I think it'll be fantastic. So
I think it'll
out.
Be that's, super that's entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah.
But either way, so that will be a good teaser to next week where we will talk about Apex and kind of where we think it might go in an esports-related discussion. It's a new BR.
The best thing that could happen here is... In the championship game, you have Shroud versus Doc as the last remaining players alive. And that's how it finishes. That's the best thing that could happen to this game tomorrow. is those two being head to head in some form or fashion in an intense situation.
Please let it happen, man. Let it happen. That'd be so
check
awesome.
That out. That'll be a lot of fun, and then we'll dive into Apex.
Yeah. So everyone watch that tomorrow. Everyone watch the Challenger stage for the CSGO Major coming up, because we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Apex next week. If you haven't played it yet, what are you doing?
And the next stage of the Major.
Yep. We're actually going to get into some real Major talk.
Yep.
We will have the top 16 by then, so there will be a lot to discuss. Actually get some matchups and everything like that going. But that's all next week, because for this week, we're done. I thank you for listening. If you listen to the full thing, I love you. If you skipped around, if you joined us on Twitch late, it's okay. I love you all the same. No judge. Thanks for listening. Again, I know we said shout out last week, but to our new listener, Lex, thank you for the YouTube view. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for the hit.
All it took was 1 year of following you for that to happen.
Good times. Good times. We'll be back next week. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our Discord, you can hit us up on there. We're always chatting, always talking, and stuff like that. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.